We don't hoop and holler much anymore, it seems like, but I'd like to revive, have a revival of hooping and hollering for Jesus. Woo! Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and just worship Him again. I'm telling you, I'm like Pastor, the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Worship the King of Kings again right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for obeying God. Brother Terry, thank you for obeying God tonight. Turn to him and say, just obey God tonight. Turn to him and say, we got an evangelist that's just going to obey God tonight. Is that all right with everybody? Hallelujah. We like to do things by vote. Let's have a vote right now. How many is in favor of having a move of the Holy Ghost before we walk back out of the house tonight? And just pull out all the stuff. I think it carried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. We used to sing this old song. I feel like going a little old school tonight. Is that all right? And I love it. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will hear. And he still believes that's all it takes is just getting real with God and a little time of prayer. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and in a little light, heaven filled my soul. Somebody now, turn to somebody and high five them and say, I'm going to get out of my pew for about 2 minutes and I'm just going to sing this song like I'm the only one here. Well, I may have doubts and fears and my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend, watch His day and die. Here we are. Despita. Woo! Take somebody by the hand and sing it one more time. Holy Ghost. Come on, clap your hands and shout. Turn to your neighbor and say, just go ahead and take your liberty here tonight. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Hallelujah. Whoo. For the Holy Ghost here. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. Someone help me read it together aloud, shall we? And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. For the people spake of stoning him. I'd be upset too. I would be very apprehensive, very concerned. And I don't think they were talking about smoking wacky weed. No, they were going to stone him. They wasn't talking about doing drugs with him. Snorting. They were talking about stoning him. There's a reason. Because the soul of all the people that was with him, the soul of all of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, for his seed. There's a reason. We're just kind of dovetailing into what has post, what has happened. But the Bible says, but David, he was in a dilemma. He was in a seemingly inescapable situation. He was in a set of circumstances that was immensely unfavorable. But the Bible says, but David, excuse me while we do what Brother B.B. King was singing about. David, how'd that verse go? That one little stanza, how'd that go? Tambourines ringing, and David, like Brother Terry and me, start feeling the rhythm. And Bishop, he's got some moves too. And listen, But David, turn to him and say, but David, in an inescapable situation, when he didn't know what else to do, when he didn't have anybody else to turn to, I know there's no one here tonight that's ever been like that, that you've always had somebody to go to, you've always had a shoulder to cry on. You've always had such positive, enlightening thoughts and so full of faith that you just knew everything was all right. You had it all figured out. David, when he did not know what else to do, Brother Sandy, David, Pastor David, encouraged himself. He encouraged himself, but he didn't do it in himself, within himself. He encouraged himself in the only one that could deliver him out of what he was in. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God wanting to talk to us right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, Ziklag is not your permanent address. I got one Pentecostal amen and it came from all the way in the back. Where are y'all at? Turn to your neighbor and say, Ziklag is not your permanent address. Turn to him and say, the preacher. Say, the preacher is going to preach you an address change. I'm giving you notice tonight. An address change notification. God, I feel that right now. Some of you, I just feel it right now. Some of you have been living and residing in a place called Ziklag. I'm fixing to talk to you about it a little bit. I don't know how far we're going to get, Brother Dan, but I'm telling you, some of you have been living and camping out in a place called Ziklag. Your life is so zigzag because of Ziklag. But I'm fixing to preach it straight as an elder tonight. Your address change is right here in this house tonight. God's getting ready. Come on. Come on. I done called U-Haul. I've called Hertz. And they're out there waiting with all their trucks out here. Turn to them and say, it's time to move. Say, it's time to move. Come on, if you believe that God wants to get you out of where you're at, I'm sorry, I'm already preaching. If you believe God wants to get you out of where you're at, and if you want to get out, you can't see your way out, but you want to get out. There's that little shred of saying, I've got to get out from where I'm at. I want you right now to clap your hands and go down clapping your hands. If you're able to sit down, sit. But if you want to stand, stand. But I'm fixing to tell you, God's getting ready to get us out of a place called Ziklag. My God, I believe you can do better than that. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Jesus. Jesus is fixing to get me out of somewhere tonight. Jesus is fixing to get me out of a place that I've been stuck at long, long time. Everybody said in Jesus' name. You can be seated if you'd like. Clap your hands one more time. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, verse 1, that the Amalekites, let's say the Amalekites, invaded the south. Amalekites still invading the south. I sing Dixie all the time. You'll get that tomorrow night. I don't know about you, the older I get, it's the Word that makes the difference. Not our opinions. Thank God for statistics and newspapers, but it's the Word that makes the difference. And those old-timers had a handle on something. And I've often said this, and it fits right now, and it's in my spirit, so I'm just going to say it again. And it's this. Those old-timers, those old Brush Arbor days, oh, please don't forget those days. Please let that come back to your memory every now and then. But those old-timers and those tent meetings and Brush Arbor days and storefronts, they would get up and they didn't try. You know, a lot of times we forget, we have a tendency, and this is not an indictment, but hear me, and I'm not saying this for here at Heritage, I'm saying this for the church, this right here. Listen, we forget sometimes, we end up putting on a show, and we forget a lot of times that there's real people with real problems out here. And it's not about how, I'm fixing to get in trouble. It's not about how so well I hold a microphone and posture myself. And I'm not talking about anybody here tonight. It's not about all of that. It's not about who gets to sing and who doesn't get to sing. I mean, my God, folks, we got B.B. King in the house. Somebody ought to shout on that. I'll tell you what you ought to really shout on. You got the best pastor in the South. And I'm just going to say this. Pentecost has an identity. Always has. Always will. And if you want to know what a godly woman looks like, you ought to thank God for your first lady. Come on, young ladies. You ought to clap and shout, hallelujah! I love my pastor's wife. God, I know we're going tomorrow night, Tuesday night, but right now, the way I'm feeling, I feel like staying a while tonight. I'm sorry. I mean, you're dismissed if you got to go, but I feel like something's fixing to happen. I feel like something's fixing to take place and transpire in the Spirit, Brother Terry. I feel the Holy Ghost getting ready to move up in this house. And so, it's the Word that makes the difference. And those old-timers, and I just want to say this and go on real quick, but they would preach the Word. They would preach the blood of Jesus. They would preach the promises of God. And you know what? God always honored His Word. Always. Always honors the Word. The Word. The Word. Faith cometh by hearing. And I believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You know what we lack, Bishop, in these last days is men like you that will have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and not care what anybody thinks, but only what God thinks. I feel dangerous right now. If we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. I don't mean to be ugly and unkind. You don't know me. I love to have fun. Just ask Bishop and Sister Bishop. I love to laugh. I love to cut up. I love to have fun, and I enjoy life, and I'm optimistic. But bless God, we need men that'll stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Because you know what? If it was good back then, it's still good now. If this Word worked in 1941, in 1948, it'll work tonight. Hallelujah. The Word hasn't changed. Whew. And I want to say this tonight by starting out that, thank you for letting me use your Bible, that God always loves an underdog. You know how I know that? I'm going to say it like we said in Louisiana. God, I pray the Lord calls me to Mississippi one day. I feel more, it's like I feel a little bit more God here than I, never mind. Oh God, help me. Yeah, that's right, Bishop. Hallelujah. I see you through the pulpit. Hallelujah. He's right. But you know how Yeah, help me along, because I may forget what I'm preaching here in a minute. I may need a little help. I'm getting old. Anyway. You know why and how I know God loves underdogs? This is where we sit in Louisiana. Because I are one. He loves me. But I tell you who else He loves. He loves, and here's my message. He loves David. He loved David. You know, I was praying last week, knowing that I was going to come to the best church in Mississippi. My knees were knocking. I said, God, I got to come out with some good stuff because I'm going to the church. And I was praying last week and the Lord began to deal with me. And you may not have ever heard this preach, but it's like the Lord deposited this into my spirit. And it is this. David was rejected. He was a rejected son of his father. He was. We talk about Joseph being the rejected son of his father. But think about it. David was rejected by his own father. And he was ostracized and criticized. Apparently, his own brethren, his own brothers didn't want to have much to do with him. David. I'm talking about David. How do you know that? It don't take long of an investigation to look into the Scriptures where you will quickly find that he was the eighth son of Jesse. And when the preacher, the prophet, the man of God that was going to come anoint the future king of Israel, when he came to Jesse's house that notable day. And I love this. That was, oh, what, this is a little tidbit that's just powerful. That was Old Testament, folks. I got a question for you. He was going down the line. How did he know? How did the prophet know? Nope, he's not the one. I'm telling you, that Spirit of the Lord. That Spirit of the Lord was quickening that prophet. And even in that Old Testament, he knew. Nope, he's not the one. 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 And he went down the line. And to think, it was a miracle. In and of itself, it was an absolute miracle that the prophet... Do you have any other sons? You would think, well, no, they're all right here. It just lets me know if God's got His hand on you and He's marked you, it don't even matter if you're present where all the accolades and the honors are being given. You could be on the backside of nothing on nowhere's land. God has a way of... Oh, I just feel like preaching it. I know we heard it some time back, but it feels good right now in the Holy Ghost. God wants to let somebody know and remind somebody in the house that it don't matter where you're at, He will pull you out of the backside of a desert somewhere, anywhere. If He's got... Here it is. If He's got plans for you, He's got a purpose for you, and He wants to use you, it don't matter where you're at, He'll pull you out of hiding. When it seems like everybody else is trying to hide you. Tuck you away. Somebody shout hallelujah. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. See, come along. Do you have any other sons? Well, yes, I do. I do have a son. David, he's out there and he's tending the sheep. You know what? Go get him. He comes up. I tell you what. He didn't have no cologne package from Dillard's. He was smelling like sheep dung. He was looking woolly and wily. Probably needed to shampoo his hair. And I tell you what he was smelling like. He was smelling like B.O. or de toilette. Toilet, more like toilet water, right? Just by the way, I'm glad y'all all smell good tonight. He comes walking up, and he was, you see, he was an underdog. He was abandoned, really, by his father. I'm sure that projected upon him, and we don't really think about it. I want to get to the reality of the reality of his life in the Scriptures. I don't want to just preach the highlights. I want to dig a little deeper. And I want to look into the reality of his life. And what one reality that points out to me is that David, he was all of a sudden at a young teenage, undoubtedly teenager in his teenage years, was dealing with these insecurity issues. His dad was favoring his other brethren. Sticks him out there and he's tending the sheep. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm fixing to preach. His brothers are kind of like, you know, we don't want nothing really much apparently to do with him. Apparently he's not very well thought of. He's just a little, you know, he's a little bub. He's this little brother, you know, just kind of whatever, you know, and, you know, thump him on the back of his neck and just kind of, you know, and just kind of, you know, pinch him and just kind of, you know, get out of here, you know, just that kind of thing. And watch this. You know what? For everybody that's ever been pinched and ever been thumped on, I'm telling you what, God wants to do something with that kind of an individual. Always has and always will. So he comes up and you know the story. Let me fast track this and get to where I want to go and I feel to go in the Holy Ghost. He comes up and yep, sure enough, he's the one. Pours the oil over him. I mean, it runs down and sends him back out. Watch this. He was anointed that day to be a future king of Israel, but he was not yet appointed. He was anointed, but he was not yet appointed. God officially placed his hand upon his life for future use. Here we go. He didn't look like much that day. He didn't smell like he was supposed to smell that day. He was unlearned, uneducated. He wasn't even trained. He didn't even have everything that he was supposed to have to qualify him to be the future king of Israel. But God says, I got plans on using somebody that everybody has said, well, you just. Oh, I'm fixing to preach it. And so he goes, and watch this. His brothers were no doubt, the Bible says they were engaged in the Israeli military and they were fighting the Philistines and fighting the enemies and defending the right of Israel. And he's out there and David, his brothers are on the battlefield and he's out there just tending sheep and just kind of saying, you know what, here's what I want to preach tonight. I want to focus on David's attitude. David's attitude. I know this is old hat, but I'm going to say it tonight. God quickened it to my spirit earlier this afternoon. And it is this, our attitude always and forever determines our altitude. A little while ago since we heard that, our attitude determines our altitude. What do you mean? Watch, David, he could have been out there on the backside tending the sheep and just kind of saying, well, you know what? I'll tell you what, they just don't know who I am. I guess they just don't get it because, you see, I just realized here the other day what I'm all about. I'm going to be the future king and they're not even paying me no mind, not paying me attention. I'll tell you what, you know, and the heaven with all of them. Come on now. No. You know what his attitude was? They was out there on the battlefield. And his dad said, hey, Dave, take your brother something to eat. Bring him something to eat. Gets on his, I don't know, I almost want to say bicycle. But I don't think so. But he gets out there, and he walks out there, and on his journey, And he, watch this, let me fast track it. He steps, David steps on the battlefield, and it's like all of these mighty military men of Israel, I mean, guys that look like this brother back here, all bowed up. Looks like my brother out here, all bowed up. Looks like Uncle Dave, Daniel over here. Just muscled up like Uncle BB, hallelujah. And all of these mighty warriors of Israel are sitting on the side, kind of got that look in their face that, like a dog does when his tail's tucked between his legs. Well, I'm pulling out some redneck tonight. But watch this. He gets out there and he walks up on the battlefield. Watch me now. David walks up on the battlefield. He walks up and he's kind of assessing the situation. And he's looking around. He's like, what's going on? All of a sudden he hears his bellowing voice from his big old guy. Said, send me a man! Right? And all of a sudden he's not just saying, send me a man. This big old dude is throwing down on all of Israel and these military men, these men that fight in battle. He's talking trash talk. They're in the Valley of Elah. This big old guy, he said, send me a man. He said, you know, and all of a sudden David looks around and he's like, what in the world is going on? What's going on? Oh, David, you wouldn't be interested in it. You just, you know, just, hey, what you got to eat? Bologna sandwich? Got some moon pies? All of a sudden, wait a minute, watch David's attitude. David's attitude was, wait a minute, you're telling me that if they defeat us, then we have to bow and serve them. And then on the other hand, if we defeat them, then they have to give obeisance to us and bow to us. And watch this. Young man David. The young man David. In his heart, in his mind, everything was at stake. Is there not a cause? I may not stand head and shoulders. Come on. David, here's my armor. Here, take it. Try it on. If you're foolish enough to get out there, you know the story. It's been preached so many times and I'm hurrying through this because I hadn't got to what I want to get to just yet. But, you know, it's amazing the men that's behind armor. That armor on the outside looks secure and shiny and all bold and just victorious, but the man on the inside is doing this, usually. Food for thought. And he said, try it on. He I don't know what part and how much he got and where, but Saul, King Saul, I'm David. You know who I am? But here, listen, I'm honoring you, sir. The bare fact that he put that armor on was honoring the king. So, but listen, I haven't, you know the scripture says it, I haven't proved this armor. So here we go, I'm just, you know what I'm saying, I hadn't said it yet. He said, I'll go out there if none of you big burly men that's going to stand for the right of Israel to go out there and fight, I'll go out there and listen, I'm not going to use an armor, I'm not going to use a sword, he said, all I know is I've been killing bears and I've been killing lions and I tell you what, all I got with me today is just a rag and a rock. But I tell you what, I think it's worked in the past, and I think it'll work now for me. Because you see, David knew something even as a young man that day. And the only thing he had really going for him was God, the God of Israel, has placed His hand on my life. And if God be for me, who can be against? Oh, come on, somebody clap your hands. Come on. Here we go. He gets out there and watch this. He slings it. You know the story and I love him. I hadn't come just to preach this tonight, but oh my God, it's David. If I say it's David, turn in everybody and say it's about David tonight. and say, David's about you and me tonight. And David watches. David sings and watch. He didn't kill Goliath of Gath. No, he did not. But he knocked him down. And he went over there and he cut Goliath's sword. And you know the story. He cut his head off, right? Am I telling you right? The story, you've heard it. In Sunday school and other places, it's been taught. He cut his head off and he threw the sword down and said, there, that's that. Do you have any more? Watch this. Just because David was in touch with his sensitive side. Hallelujah to God. Don't you think that's because he wrote poetry. Come on now. I'm trying to help everybody tonight. Just because he wrote songs and psalms. Don't you think he could tear your head off your shoulder? Because he knew there was a cause. But greater than a cause, he knew there was a God. I just need three men to stand up and shout, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, come on. We need to get that back in our spirit tonight. If God be for us. He was that. Here it is. He was the ultimate underdog. Was he not? David, that day when he threw that sword down and he went out, and my God, I tell you what, all of a sudden, David, his life story kind of fast tracks, and he finds himself where King Saul gave him camp base and said, I'm putting you in charge. I want you to fight for the right of Israel. Watch this. And here's what I've really come to talk. We're getting there. David's attitude, watch this. David was fighting for Saul. And watch this. The king, Saul, favored David and loved him. But watch this. It wasn't very long at all. He turned on him. He became, really there's a word for it, and it's fitting. David to Saul. Saul was jealous. You don't think jealousy is as cruel as the grave? King Saul quickly became jealous. He even said, you know, they were talking about, you know, David coming back. They were fighting him, always fighting. The enemy's defending the right of Israel. It's the same way today. And I want to tell you, just as a footnote, we better defend the right of Israel. We better wake up every morning and say, God bless Israel. We better wake up every day of our lives and say, Lord, may your hand be... And we pray for the peace of Israel. They're fighting the right. Watch this. David is fighting the Philistines. He's fighting the enemies. He's fighting all the Amalekites. He's fighting with Saul. But all of a sudden, Saul became jealous of David. And it got so bad, Brother Sandy, that my Bible reads that the king Saul threw a javelin at David. But watch what David did. Attitude. David ducked. And watch this. He stood up. And even after that, his loyalty to the anointed of God. He went from loving me, welcoming me, giving me position, honoring me, to all of a sudden turning on me. He's my leader. He was a leader in his life. But he got up. He could have said, you know what? Forget you. Forget Israel. Forget everybody. Well, this is powerful. Not what I've come to get all together to preach tonight, but we're going to get there. But what he could have just said, forget it all. It's too much trust. I've got the king's against me. I mean, what kind of love is that? He brings me in his palace and he loves me. And then he turns on me because why? The people are saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Jealousy. Cruel as the grave. But David didn't do that. He got up And he was still as loyal to the king as he ever was. Why? Because David loved the king. And David loved him because David knew who the king was. And what does that mean? David knew that he was anointed of God. And David knew, touch not God's anointed, no matter what. Well, we need that preached today like we ain't never had that preached today. Touch not the anointed of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, God has always, I feel this in the Holy Ghost, God has always had a man. God has always had a woman. God has always had someone for each dispensation of time to help bring about the revelation and the truth and in our revival, if you will, and bring about that repentance and the message of truth to reconcile His people unto Himself. God has always had an anointed one. David knew, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. But I'll tell you what David did. And here we go. David, in his mind, my dad! Now you got to understand, a little time has passed on here now. I'm just fast-tracking a little bit, but chronologically we're right there. Watch this. David in his mind, when Saul probably that day, I don't know, I can never prove this perhaps, but no doubt David that day when the king threw a javelin at him trying to kill him. Here he's trying to kill me. He loved me, but he's trying to kill me now. Watch this. David that day, even though he watched, obviously, undoubtedly kept the right attitude, the right spirit. David, no doubt thought when that happened, because he was human, he could have thought these thoughts. Watch me now. I know this is a little different tonight, but I got a word. Listen to me. He says, perhaps to himself, my father apparently didn't think I was much. I had to deal with the rejection of my own dad. My brothers made fun of me and hadn't took me serious. My brother has just kind of laughed me off as not much or nothing. Now, the king today, pretty obvious, he's wanting to kill me. Don't feel a whole lot of love today. Don't feel a whole lot of, here we go, don't feel a whole lot of acceptance today. But it doesn't stop there. He had to make a decision. You may have never heard this preached. Perhaps you have, but here we go. David honored King Saul because he knew who he was, and because of that, he loved him anyway. But here's what he did. He gathered up 600 men, the Bible says, rough men. They wasn't the steeds, if you will, of the Israeli army. They wasn't the thoroughbreds of the Israeli army, if you will. He gathered up some old rough rednecks, if you will. It's true. He gathered them up. He got 600. He went in the cave of Adullam and he was crying and all this. And he's like, "What am I? What the world am I going to do?" But he gathered up and he gathered together and he enlisted, if you will, 600 rough men. That says, "Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're not leaving." We're not leaving the state of Israel and we're not abandoning the state of Israel, but what we are going to do, we're going to fight on the same side of King Saul, but we can't, listen, I can't fight with him, but we're going to fight the same enemy, but we're not going to be able to fight from the same position as Saul. We're fighting the same enemies of Israel. Stay with me. But I can't fight with Saul, but we're Israelis just like them, and we're fighting for the right of our people. We're going to fight the same enemy, but while they fight over there, we're going to fight over here. And watch. They end up that we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 30. They end up in a place called Ziklag. It was kind of their commodore place. It was kind of their gathering place. It was their place of comfort. It was their place of saying, between the skirmishes of battle and war, this is where we're going to come and retreat. Ziklag. It was kind of a place of retreat. It was kind of a place of We're just going to take it easy here. Catch our breath and just regroup and regain our strength and get our rest and then get out back at the battle and fight the enemy again. Okay? Ziklag! Someone say Ziklag. And I didn't know this. The Bible, it reads it, when you look at it, it reads like they were there for 20 years. But I've come to tell you tonight, they were only there a year and 4 months. Tapped out at Ziklag. Brother Daniel, they were tapped out at Ziklag. They would go fight the enemy. They would come back. They would eat. They had and here's David. David had all his men. He had his wives. He had the children and those men that was with him, their wives and their families and their children. And they were all at a place called Ziklag. This is where they were dwelling at. This is where there they come. Okay. And so one day, here it is. They were going out again to fight for the right of Israel. And they went out. And this is who they were fighting. They were fighting the Philistine army again. The Philistines. They went out to fight the Philistines. God, I feel this. Are y'all still with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't feel sorry for me yet. Listen. Here's what happened. When they went out to fight the Philistine army, it's always been preached or taught or said that the Philistines was the arch enemies of Israel. And I've even preached that. And they were a fierce enemy of Israel. Don't you doubt that. But watch this. While they were out fighting the Philistines, when they came back to Ziklag, they had found that their tents had been overrun. They had found that there were no children playing in between their tents. In fact, to be quite frank with you, and I hope this is not offensive to anyone, but the truth of the Word of God was this. Their children had been abused and their women had been raped. Yes, yes. And here's David with the men that was loyal to him. And they were all fighting under the banner of King Saul. And loyal to him. Fighting the same enemy. In a different place. Same enemy. When they come back to Ziklag this day, watch me. And they came back, Sister Sandy. David and all those men looked around and their wives were gone. They later found out what had happened. Obviously, children were nowhere to be found. Everything had been run over and burned and turned upside down. It had been ravished. It had been totally... Well, it was the Amalekites. We say the Philistines was there. I'm going to tell you what, the Amalekites... was probably the absolute most worst subtle of all enemies. Because you see, the Amalekites did not get Israel at their strongest points. The Amalekites fought against Israel. Obviously, they hit them at their weakest point. They went after the women and the children. You see, the devil's sly. The devil's slick. He's cunning. He's a sly old fox. If I had him, remember what you said? If I had him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock the door and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me, right? Remember that? But watch this. The Amalekites came and took their women and children, burned their house. Watch this. They came, and here's my message tonight. David and those men of Israel fighting for Israel's right. They came to Ziklag looking for comfort, but all they found was conflict. Brother Sandy, Pastor, they came looking for some porridge or some food or some baked bread. But all they found was our children, our wives, and our home has been totally ransacked. It's gone. They're gone. You know what I've come to preach tonight? Here it is. Ziklag represents that place in your life where you fight the enemy on this side and you're winning, it seems like. But no sooner you feel like you're winning, you turn your back and here is an enemy, a devil fighting you over here. Come on now. Ziklag is that place where you thought that you're gaining ground and it seems like you're getting ahead. But as soon as you turn your back around on this side, there's another enemy that's at
pants you and has taken some things from you on this side. Zigzag is that place where you're not added to. It's a place where you're subtracted from. Zigzag, a place that's supposed to be a place of comfort and relaxation and retreat and regrouping and recharging. I'm going to tell you something. The devil don't waste time in trying to seek out and destroy every one of us. He wants to get us at every corner. He wants to fight us on every side. But you know what? The Bible still says, though he slay me, that's what Job said. The Bible said, I may be distressed on this side, but I'm not forsaken. I mean, it looks like something's going over here that's trying to seek to destroy my life. But wait a minute. Oh, if I'm going to say it again. If God be for me, who can be against me in the end? Give me just a little more volume, brother. Just a smidgen. Just a hair. Hallelujah. And listen to me tonight. I've come to preach that the men that looked to David as their leader under Saul, that men that were loyal, those men that pledged for the chariot, those men that said to David, we're with you, we're going to fight, we're going to be with you, we're loyal, we're not backing up, we're not backing down, we're not going anywhere. Those men, all of a sudden, the Bible says, and you can read it for yourself in that chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says those big burly men, those men were crying and weeping and wailing, and even David began to cry and weep and wail. And all of a sudden, those men rose up to speak against David and said, David, this is your fault. It's human nature to always point the finger. Instantly, it's never my fault. Oh, no, it's never your fault. Things go wrong. It's her fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. Tell you something. I love David's attitude. He looked at the priest. He said, go bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. And the Bible says, that David went to prayer. And he specifically asked God, what am I going to do? Has anybody ever been there? How many's there tonight? Don't raise your hand. Listen. We talk about David encouraging himself in the Lord. Brother Sandy, I'm sorry for being so transparent tonight. I'm actually not a lying evangelist. Imagine that. Telling them the truth. There have been times in the last 2 years of my life, things have come against me. Health, ill health in my body. People that I thought, people are funny. They'll fight for you one day and they'll stab you in the back the next. People are funny. They'll turn, you're not hearing me, somebody listening to me tonight. They'll turn on you. Just when you think you got a solid, rock solid, in concrete relationship with someone, they'll turn on you. Watch this. Sister Sandy, brothers and sisters, listen to me, young people. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, grandma. Come on, papa. Listen to me. Come on, listen to me, aunt, uncle. Come on, listen to me. Listen to me tonight when I tell you. David, in that moment, he was crying out to God. And listen, these were no doubt the thoughts that was running through his mind. My dad rejected me. My brothers abandoned me, made fun of me, didn't take me serious, didn't value my worth. And then all of a sudden, the king of the entire nation of Israel has went from loving me to wanting to kill me. And now, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this, church? Now, this day, he said, now, these are my brothers. These are my brothers in the Lord, if you will. These are my brothers fighting, my God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. These are my brethren fighting for the right, our common cause for the state of Israel. Listen, if you will, and I'm saying it right. Listen. And he said, today, my own brethren, these men that vowed to be loyal to me, now they have turned on me, and they don't want anything to do with me. It would be good and fine, perhaps, if they just didn't want anything to do with me, but they want to stone me, God. They want to kill me. And watch this. The Bible says, here it is, and here's my message. When David didn't feel like there wasn't, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. Come on, somebody. When David felt like there was absolutely, positively, unequivocally, without mistake, without fail, no doubt, there was nobody in this world, no human being, no person, no family member, no friend, no leader, no anybody, when there wasn't nobody in the world to help him, the Bible said, when he didn't have nobody but himself, the Bible says, that's enough, because God is the one that's going to give me everything I need in my time of desperation. And that's exactly how he did encourage himself in the Lord. He cried out to God in a desperate prayer, what am I to do, God? Somebody put your hands together and just kind of help me talk to the Lord for just a moment in time. He took the ephod. I don't know where he went at Ziklag. Brother Sandy, you may know more about it than me, but I'm studying it. I studied enough to preach the highlights real good. How's that for honesty? No, I know the story and you do too. Listen, no doubt the Bible says he didn't just pray any prayer. He says, Lord, the Amalekites has done this. And here's what he asked the Lord. These men are trying to kill me now. I don't have anybody to turn to. Is there anybody here tonight that's ever felt like you? You just don't have anybody to turn to. I'm going to be transparent. Forgive me. I'm asking for forgiveness in advance, Bishop. But I couldn't tell you the times that I travel. Listen, this is my 19th year traveling full-time as an evangelist. And I'm still honored. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday nights and revival service night, every time wherever the Lord has given me the honor and the privilege of driving up to a church and walking and standing in that great desk, it's like, God, I want it to be like my first time. I don't want to take it for granted. But I couldn't tell you the times that I've went back to a hotel room or back to an evangelist quarters. Sister Sandy, Bishop, I couldn't tell you, church, how many times that I'd go back, and as soon as the door would shut behind me, I would make my way over to a chair or lay across a bed and start weeping and crying and say, God, hear me, watch me now. I thank you like David, thank you for victories won. Come on, think with me. Thank you for victories won. We're fighting for the right of the church, Israel. But you got this one over here that don't just like you. They almost give you the look. They wish you were dead. And you got this one over here. They don't even know you and they don't even like you. What's up with that? To some people, and this ain't about me, and listen, I'm preaching this. I've been there. I'm not preaching anything. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's like, I'm a great friend if you give me the privilege to get to know me. I'm going to tell you something else. In a lot of our churches, we have these things called cliques. Oh, God. We might have to go 7 weeks. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I could spend a lot of time there, but I want to just stop and say this. We don't have cliques at Heritage. Why? Oh, wait. You know why? We all click as one. But it's not just here. How many times have I laid across the bed and nailed to the chair and I said, God, I'm fighting for the right of the church. You're giving us victories. And you touched this one over here tonight. And Lord, you touched that one over here tonight. That young lady actually let God touch her life. She actually let the Lord touch her. And that young man wasn't so prideful that he just didn't let some tears stream down his face. And something happened in his life today, God, or tonight. But God, here it is. But Lord, we're fighting for the right of the church and for revival in the last days. But God, here's my message tonight. And if you don't get this, you haven't got it. God, I feel so alone. I feel like I'm fighting this fight without the aid or help or moral support of any human being. Have you ever felt that way? Several weeks ago, and the Lord reminded me again tonight, getting ready for church. Brad Bullock, you may feel that way, but let me tell you something. The people that feel that way are the only people that I've ever really used. So David prayed, what do I do? And I'm closing with this. David, this is what I want you to do. You go after the Amalekites. He said, well, what am I going to do, Lord? Pursue. And the Lord spoke to him and said, pursue. And this is what the Lord said, and this is what I'm preaching tonight. Because he kept the right spirit. And he kept the right attitude. And he wasn't just in it for himself. This is what he said. The Lord spoke to David and said, not only are you going to pursue the Amalekites, and he killed every one of them but 200. Listen. And watch this. He put a dent in that army. Watch this. That day. And this is what the Lord said. Not only are you going to pursue them, he said, but you and your men, y'all are going to recover all. Everything the enemy has taken from you. Now, I'm fixing to be bold, and I'm fixing to be a little brash right now, but if you don't believe the Word of God, what in the world are you doing here tonight? If you don't believe in a sovereign God that has sovereign ways and that can sovereignly, supernaturally, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God's touching somebody right now. If you don't believe in the supernatural power of Almighty God, then what in the world are you sitting on this pew looking at me for? Go to some Zig Ziglar event. Go to someone that's promoting humanism and go to your self-help situations and seminars. I'm telling you, my faith is not in self-help books. My faith is not in some positive thinker speaker. No, my faith is not even in a John Maxwell. I'll tell you who my faith is in. My faith is in the same God that David had his faith in. Oh, somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord tonight. If God be for you, who in this world can be against you? God's got His hand on your life. God, oh, you're not hearing me. God's got His hand on your life. You may be retired from your job secularly in this world with regards to secular employment. But if you're still living and breathing, God still has purpose for your life. It's not over yet. And so he went. He killed. Watch this. You got to hear this in our close. He started out with 600 men helping him. 200 left and left him with 400. Says, I don't know. He kept going. He said, we got to go. 200 more left him. He got down to 200. God whispered this to me. He said, for the people that feel like they don't have enough, remember the 2 fish and 5 loaves. Remember that I'm fixing to do more with less. I've always done it that way. Really? Yes, Lord, you have. A little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. Somebody's getting the message right now. You see, right now, I'm not appealing to your fancy. I'm not appealing to your scratching your intellectualism. I'm not scratching your brain right now. I'm trying to knock on the door of your heart right now and let somebody in this house know. Somebody close your eyes and help me talk to Jesus right now. Come on, just let it flow out of your spirit. David. And watch this. He got back from the battlefield, Brother Terry, and 2 days later, there was a knock at the door. I'm preaching tonight. Ziklag is not your permanent address. 2 days later, after he killed the Amalekites and wiped them out, he was back in Ziklag. Brother Sandy, 2 days later, he got a knock at the door, and there was a messenger. He told him this and said, David, Jonathan's dead. David, King Saul is dead. And who are you? What's the story? How do you know? Listen, don't always trust the first voice you hear. Test it. People come talking to me. I'm not saying everybody's a liar, but I'm going to test what you're telling me. That's wisdom. Test it. Don't always believe the first voice, because usually it's just a rumor or an overrated opinion of person. He said, how do you know, David? How do you know? David's looking at him. How do you know King Saul's dead? He said, well, here's his bracelet I took off his wrist. Here's his crown. What's the story? Who are you? Well, I'm an Amalekite. You're an Amalekite? Yes. He says, the king looked at me and he said, the Philistines be upon me. He said, I'm already injured. He said, thrust my sword through me, and I don't want the Philistines to get the privilege, the honor of saying that they won and defeated me. So he gave me orders. You mean to tell me he gave you instructions to kill you? Yes. And he did. And watch what David did. He says, and who are you to think that you had the right to touch God's anointed? I'm not even going to give you the luxury of me killing you myself. I'm going to sick one of my boys on you. One of my men. And they killed the messenger. But the message tonight is this. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us tonight for greater. And here's the message. When it looks like there's no way you're going to find the will of God and God's purpose, you may be frantically wondering where to go to look for it. If you keep the right spirit, if you keep the right attitude, if you say it's all about the kingdom, whatever, I'm just thankful to be in the church. Lord, if they get the credit, let them get the credit. If they get the limelight, or someone listening to me right now tonight, if they get the limelight, let them get the limelight. But oh, it don't matter. I'm just going to be faithful, God. Because watch this. God has a way. Just like the day in the wilderness or on the backside of the desert tending to sheep or somewhere out in the field tending sheep. Just like that day, this day. But that day in Ziklag, he only stayed there 1 year and 4 months. And it seemed like an eternity to him. But God, that day, moved him out of Ziklag and
said, today I have brought the kingdom to you. I have brought the purpose to you. I have brought the fulfillment of promise to you. Is someone listening to this preacher tonight? Are you hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to your spirit? Are you listening with your ears tonight? Come on. God sent me here tonight to tell you God's getting ready to move you out of Ziklag. Ziklag is only a temporary lodging place, but Ziklag was a place where everything changed and everything altered in David's life. I'm telling you, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Come on, somebody. If everybody seems to turn their back on you, I've got good news tonight. Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Jesus has not turned His back on you. He loves you.
Reach over and take somebody by the hand. Reach over and take somebody by the hand. I want us to pray. This is what I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Whoever it is that we're holding the hand, that God would reassure them tonight by His Spirit. He has by the Word. But what's the Word going to do if it falls on stony ground? I want you to pray that by His Spirit, He will reassure your brother, your sister, that He's not forgotten where they're at. What are you preaching, Brother Bullock? I'm preaching tonight something I've been living myself. God knows where I'm at, if nobody else does. And that's where you got to get to the place to say, okay, if God knows where I'm at, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Nobody looking around. Somebody lift your voice. Let's pray. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me just a little more volume, brother. Just a little more on the mic. Thank you. In the house, speak. Just a little more. My voice is waning a little bit. Come on, somebody pray. I'm telling you, I'm preaching tonight to someone. I'm preaching to the person that you feel like you're always overlooked. I'm preaching to the person that you feel like I'm confused about life. I mean, I come to church and I sing the songs and I hear good preaching, good teaching, good singing, but where am I in all of this, God? Where's my purpose? God spoke of Ezekiel. Excuse me. Elijah, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Nothing could come against you, because I planned you. I believe that. Nothing could stop you from being born. Somebody help me pray right now. Reach over and take somebody by the hand. God's moving on some hearts right now in a very tender way. I'm preaching tonight. Somebody's getting ready to move. God said, I'm getting you out of here that day. David left that day. He moved to Jerusalem that day. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. If you've ever felt abandoned, you've ever felt lonely, you've ever felt like nobody understands and nobody cares, I want you right now to pray. Come on, you're too quiet, church. Let's lift our voices and pray. Somebody pray. The only way God will hear us is if we cry out to Him. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Don't be, no. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody pray. Come on, somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Come on, somebody lift your voice. Somebody pray. God's for you. God's, that's it. Come on. Come on. Now take that same hand and say, come on, let's go to the front right now. We're just going to make this official. Come on, we're going to let God know. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm on the winning side. Even when it seemed like I'm fighting all by myself. He's bringing greatness to you. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Come on, somebody lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your hearts. Talk to Jesus right now. Right now, we're not running the aisles right now. No, we're not running the pews. I know we're not hanging from the chandeliers. I know, but God's moving right now. You're not alone. Don't you get it? That's the message tonight. God sent me, I believe, in this pulpit one more time this Sunday night to tell somebody, you are not alone. You're not by yourself. And if He ever gave you a promise, it's going to come to pass. If He ever prophetically spoke something to your life, it will come to pass. I believe that and I speak that right now. Come on. Come on, brethren. Come on, sisters. Come on, let's lift our hearts and lift our voices. You're too quiet, church. Somebody cry. Who will be the one that will dare to cry out to God right now? Come on, somebody lift your voice and cry out to God right now. Moving out of Ziklag tonight. Somebody needs to believe that tonight. I'm moving out of Ziklag tonight. I'm moving. Come on, I want you to reach over and pray with somebody right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Come on, reach over and pray with somebody. Say, God, wrap your loving arms around them tonight. There's somebody fighting the battle of your life tonight. You're fighting the battle of your life. You're fighting a pit of loneliness and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. I'm telling you, you're not alone. Come on. Some of you men to gather around Pastor right here. Lay your hand on Pastor right there. Come on, just two or three, four of you men, lay hands on him right there. Come on. Ayala mohoshatayala mahaya. Somebody lift up your soul to God right now. Come on, the Bible said they cried with their souls in 1 Samuel 30.
God.
Oh, hallelujah.
God's getting ready to do something good in me.
Yeah. I'll give you something to shout about tonight.
Yes.
Yes.